Simply put, it's that creativity cannot exist without limitations. And that has been like the driving value behind the Portrait Project. It's also been the driving value behind so much of what I do. I find that like both simplicity and restraint in my work is really powerful.
Hello, and thanks for listening to I Love Cincinnati, a podcast that showcases the people who are building and affecting change in the city. I'm your host, Chuck Mingo, and today I am interviewing John Bob Willis, a local Cincinnati area photographer and entrepreneur. John Bob, like most creatives, is an idea man. Even though his interests are diverse, his drive to try new things has resulted in successful businesses like Dart Rush, The Simple Portrait Project, and even a pop-up restaurant called The Snakebite. His work has had an impact on tons of people in our city, including my family. Take a listen to what makes him tick. Man, well, let's start at the beginning. I mean, you know, Cincinnati's not originally where you were born.
Yeah, it's not.
So tell me about that. How'd you get to Cincinnati?
So, you know, my dad worked with John Morrell. So corporate job. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was based in Cincinnati, but mm-hmm. he kind of hopped around the corporate structure and we landed here late 80s, like 1989.
Okay.
And, you know, I was born in New Mexico. We lived in Texas and Chicago. Ended up here, and I just, like, I stayed. I actually thought that, like, you were supposed to move every 4 years. So, like, after that first fourth year when we were still here, it was like, okay, like, this is uncharted territory for our family. Because even prior to me being born, they had moved even more so. So. Okay. Ended up, you know, here then, and I've stayed. I wasn't planning on staying. I mm-hmm. actually wanted to take my work and move to either New York or Nashville was mm-hmm. on the list, but I met my wife and finished school, and we got married and pregnant right away, and
wow.
This is home, and we love it, man.
That's so good. That's so good. I do find that your wife is from this area, right?
She is.
Yeah, yes. I do find that the deciding factor isn't what you want. It's if your wife is from Cincinnati, you're staying in Cincinnati. That's basically how it works.
I was, however, she was a West Sider. So
okay.
I did convince her to move over to Kentucky.
That's huge, man.
That's a big deal.
That's like an international move.
It is. Yes. Yeah, it was a cross-cultural experience for her.
That's right. When did Cincinnati become home? I mean, you had moved from place to place, and at some point you had even thought, I'm gonna leave this place. So besides meeting your wife, is there a moment that you could say, like, this is when I recognized, like, this is my home, this is my place?
Yeah, you know, I think in high school, you know, I played in, like, I was like big into skateboarding. I was like playing in punk bands, mm-hmm. and I kind of got ingrained into this subculture. So, like, you know, we lived in kind of the south edge of town in Kentucky, and you know, Florence Union. But we would travel to like downtown all the time to skate, and we would play shows in people's basements, like all over the city. And so, got to hang out with kids who were doing really cool and really creative things, and having really fun experiences. And like, just like, I had touch points all over the city. And what's cool about our city, and I discovered at a really young age, is that it's super accessible.
Yeah.
And like, the neighborhoods all have something unique to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I don't know if there was actually a moment, but I think it was just through that season of kind of carving out our own little creative identity mm-hmm. as like teenagers, mm-hmm. just fell in love with the place.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So when I think about you, I think about someone who is incredibly creative. I mean, you have done things with visual arts that blow me away. I've seen you do big. I've seen you do intimate, small. Yeah. You're like a serial entrepreneur. You keep building new things and starting new things. I mean, you got all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
So where did that creative kind of insight come from? What do you trace that back to?
Yeah, I think it's just, I think there's aspects of, first of all, thank you. It was very kind of you to say. And I think there's pieces of that that I must have just been born with, mm-hmm. you know. I do think about like family legacy, and I think about my grandfather, who actually I never met, but learned about through story and his influence as like a business person. And I always thought, man, I really want that inheritance of that legacy. And so, you know, I was always kind of shaking something up, like from like the bands that we played in, like, you know, doing shows and touring and like making t-shirts and selling them and creating posters. It was just part of our DNA to always be making things, producing things. Mm-hmm. And, I do love starting things. Mm-hmm. It's so core to like who I am. Yeah. And so I'm not a good manager of things. Mm-hmm. I'm a good starter of things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I've been able to do, I've created this body of work that I'm even surprised by and really like grateful that I've been able to do what I've been able to do. So one of the nice things about being in our city mm-hmm. is that we have enough resources creatively. There's enough opportunity. It's just big enough to have all the tools that you need to try the things you want to try.
Yeah.
And it's small enough to know everybody, for the most part, who you need to make those connections with to get stuff done.
Yeah.
So I've been able to do, and the cost of living is so cheap mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. you can take risks.
Right.
So I took a lot of risks creatively early on in my career. Things even as risky as saying, hey, like we're gonna go to a single family income as an artist with my brand new bride and our child who had soon been born. And like we were able to stitch a life together here that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and then just over time watching that multiply. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I probably maybe could have done it elsewhere, but I think that there's such fertile ground for that here.
Yeah.
And it's not to say it's easy, but it's super doable.
Yeah, I agree with you. I often think of Cincinnati as either a big small town or a small big town.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one,
yeah.
But there's something in that kind of middle place that does enable, to your point, I mean, we've got, you know, think about our artistic community. We've got every resource you would want in a big city, right?
Yeah.
You know, we've got the Aronoff, we've got all these things,
yeah.
But there is this small town, you can connect to the people. You can get your arms around this place to really be effective in creativity and art, business, and all kinds of things. So,
so good.
I agree with that.
And then we don't waste our time in traffic.
That's true. That's true. So take me back. I know one of the things that you had talked about before is just some of your early influences. And first, let's just be clear. Tell folks what it is that you do artistically now. So you got a couple things that you
do. Yeah, I do. So, well, from my career has been built on the photography that I do. So I'm a portrait, lifestyle, commercial photographer. I guess that's a good summary of it. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of studio work. I travel over the world making pictures. I do a thing which I imagine we'll get to, the Simple Portrait Project, which was a total accidental like thing that has turned into like a cult, which is awesome.
It totally is. Yes. And I'm a follower of that cult,
yes,
by the way.
And I love it. We have a unique relationship with
that. We do.
So I've tried things. I've opened a pop-up restaurant. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to do this kind of like hybrid of photography meets street art in these murals that I'm like installing in the area. And then the other thing, I took a risk and I opened a Nerf arena.
Yes.
Technically it's a foam dart arena, but you know.
You don't have the official branding.
We don't have the TM under.
That's right.
So
yes, Dart Rush, for those of you who have been there. It's so funny. I'm sure I told you this, man. Like I have been to Dart Rush probably 6 or 7 times. Because it is so popular for, I have a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old son. And I'm telling you, all the birthday parties are there. I do have to say this, though. I also did Dart Rush with my team as a pastor at Crossroads, took my team out. And for sure, the most dishonest people in Dart Rush were the people that I work with at church. I'm just telling you right now.
We are like the best lie detector test. If you're not sure who's telling the truth in the workplace,
want
to sign up, we'll figure that out.
You sure will. You sure will.
It's good. But yeah, mm-hmm. and that, you know, you really... The reason why we did it is because we wanted to create a place, an experience where you can play as competitive Chuck,
absolutely,
with your 7-year-old mm-hmm. and your wife and your niece and nephew, or you know whoever. You all can get in there, and you can compete at a 10 at your level, regardless of your
That's
age,
right.
and it's super
That's
fun.
Right. That's exactly
so,
right.
Yeah,
that's so good. So tell me about early influences, because you talked about this a little bit. Who were the people who kind of influenced you to go into photography? As you think about inspiration on that.
Yeah. So early influences. Let me just actually back up even further and say, like, I was a terrible student, and reading was really, like, it was hard. I'm a terrible reader. Images just made sense. Like, they just resonated with me. And there was the work of another local photographer who I know a fair amount of people in our town know about, and a lot of, also not enough people do, a guy named Michael Wilson.
Okay.
Who, he was doing the work that it was like the first time I saw work that was, it had a unique voice and a unique perspective. Mm-hmm. He photographed a lot of musicians, and like musicians that he listened to, musicians that I listened to. Mm-hmm. And he just got this unique access to people and portrayed them in a way that was so like, it was curious and gentle and just so compelling. And you were just drawn into that work, and it just resonated with me like so deeply. And it just so happened that he also happened to go to the same church I went to at the time.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to strike up a relationship with him, and he has been an advocate for my work, and just he's offered some. Oh, just, you know, when I was in high school, he gave me a box of photographic paper, because I was doing all darkroom work at the time. This was before digital. And it was like, he literally gave me like a brick of gold. Like,
wow.
Later, as a high school student, I was like, I mean, every slice of that paper, when I would buy it myself, which I really couldn't afford, was like precious. And he gave me 500 sheets of it.
Wow.
And it was just like, this is awesome. And there was a turning point there that went from being like having a scarcity mentality with my work to like, no, I can actually try things. I have permission in room to fail, and I can explore and just test and test and test and really kind of develop my skills, which was huge. So yeah, Michael Wilson was a significant influence.
Man, so a lot of people owe thanks to Michael Wilson for just what you have done with that investment that he made in you.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Like, in hindsight, it was maybe 30 bucks, maybe 40 bucks, which, you know, for me just was like, God, it was maybe more. Still, it was a huge deal. Yeah. Yeah, so generous. So generous. And the cool thing is, if you meet other photographers in town, the name Michael Wilson is often connected to their start and to their inspiration. He's a really, like, I don't know, a gem, true gem or something.
You talked about gyms in the city and Michael Wilson being a gym.
Yeah.
You would also say where you were schooled, where you got educated on photography, you see that as a hidden gem in our city as well. So talk about that.
Well, the cool thing is I don't think it's as hidden as it used to be. But yeah, I went to NKU.
Yeah.
Loved my experience there. Had like, I don't know how I did. I ended up with a different photo instructor for almost every class except for like two. Mm-hmm. So I got a really diverse perspective from a number of different teachers.
Yeah.
We, you know, it was affordable. I graduated basically like debt free. It was close. It was just like, God, there's just really good work happening there. And the nice thing is, like, in NKU, and from an art stamp perspective, you know, in the context of Cincinnati, where we have the Art Academy, we have UC, we have Xavier, we have like just really good schools.
Sure.
And so like that sort of that pool of competition just like really challenged us as students to like, you know, we wanted to stand out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it was like, it was great.
Do you have a most memorable project from your time at NKU or experience?
Yeah. I did a project called, I forget what it was called, like 40 Fingerprints or something. I was really involved in a youth group at the Florence Vineyard when I was a student, and I took portraits of all the kids, a lot of the kids, and that work was sort of inspired by a photographer named Richard Avedon, but ended up being like an early sort of indicator of like where my voice as a photographer, existed. I also did a documentary with the Yellow Cab company, which was right around the corner from where my studio is today.
Yeah,
and that was just like that was an insane like thing.
Is that like Taxi Cab Confessions before Taxi
Cab Confessions? Yeah, well, that actually had come out, like, and I wasn't aware of it at the time because as a college student, didn't have cable or whatever. But,
right.
Like, it had come out like at the same time. I just remember they were always fighting in there. It was like, this is insane. Yeah. So, I'm trying to think of other projects. I just remember we had the senior show every year, or not the senior, the student show every year, and it was, you know, every year just like really great collection of work that all of us were working on. We all brought our best, and it was really fun. So
that's great, man. That's so good. I think that's one of the beautiful things about our region is, you know, this was striking to me. It's an interesting exercise for anybody who's doing this to check out. They had us in a team I was a part of. They said, draw your city.
Okay.
And it was really interesting because one of the things that I've recognized is in my drawing and a lot of others, the city stopped at the river for me.
Oh, interesting.
And it was really fascinating to begin to think about
my
city's bigger than, it doesn't stop at the river. So when you talk about Northern Kentucky and obviously, you know, all the things that come out of that, like my city can be bigger.
Yeah.
My area can be bigger. That was a really striking thing for me. And some people drew the entire region. They drew like, you know, Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky. I mean, just having a bigger view of what it means to belong in a place. That was a really interesting exercise.
That is it. Well, I mean, I think that there's still people that have like, probably never crossed the river.
Right.
I think growing up in Kentucky, like I said, I was playing all these like bands and like, I wanted to like be, I was a suburban kid, just to be clear. But I wanted to like be thought of as an urban city kid. So like, I would never say I'm from Kentucky. I was always from Cincinnati. Right. Even though it's like, but like, yeah, I think the city is our whole, it's the region. I see it as the region. Because I think, you know, you have these different personalities in the regions of our city, but I think collectively it makes us who we are.
Yes. Tell folks, what is the Simple Portrait Project?
Yeah, so the Simple Portrait Project is it's a one-of-a-kind family portrait experience that is super unique to our city. We do it once a year for about 5 weekends. It's usually around Thanksgiving. It's kind of how it started. They're really short sessions. You come in, I've created 2 sets. You sign up with a photographer. You come, we shoot pictures for maybe 15, 20 minutes, so these little micro sessions. And it sounds very simple. You come in, you do a quick set of images and, you know, and on the set, and then you edit them on the spot, and voila, you get the portrait. But it's actually, it really ends up being much more than that. There's just an artistry to how we handle the set. It just has the spirit of elegance, and it is it's done in a way that is really just designed to let your family be your family. And we just capture the best of it. And then we walk you through this process of selection. So when you leave, you may only leave with 4 or 5 or 6 images. Some people leave with more.
Right.
You know, you've got like, you've had an education on like why those images are the best, and you leave feeling really confident that you got like really good stuff. Yeah. And it's done in a way that like, you know, it's not pretentious. It's super raw. It's a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, it's usually super dirty. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. If we try to clean to what we call the Annabelle test, which is this theoretical little girl in a white dress. And if she came in, is she going to leave just covered in dirt?
Right.
As long as she's 90% good.
That's good.
And
that's
good. In dirt. So, mm-hmm. So it's that, you know, we always have like beer and bourbon. And,
yes, you do.
It's a good time.
It is a very good time. Yeah. So I know for you, the Simple Portrait Project stems from kind of one of your, I don't know if you call it like an axiom or what the right word is, but you have some principle around creativity, some principles around creativity, but tell
for
us
sure.
About that for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely say the idea that this axiom, simply put, it's that creativity cannot exist without limitations. And that has been like the driving value behind the Portrait Project. It's also been the driving value behind so much of what I do. I find that like, both simplicity and restraint in my work is like is really powerful. So I sat in front of a section of our classroom in high school that had that phrase just simply printed on it, like on a dot matrix printer. Mm-hmm. Like, creativity cannot exist without limitations. And I just, like, man, I just stewed over that for years. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so, like, as that pertains to the Simple Portrait Project, initially it was the formula for the portrait project was 30 minutes, mm-hmm. one light, one prop, one image. And those are the parameters, like, okay. the limitations that we put in place for it. The idea then is to, okay, let's reinterpret through those limitations 100 different family portraits.
Wow.
So I'm like, I can sort of play within those, mm-hmm. you know, limitations. And really, you start to get really great creative solutions when you've exhausted all the obvious ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been like, that's awesome, a huge man. Part of like, of my values, yeah.
For sure. And it sounds like, I mean, obviously that goes beyond just photography, but
yeah,
think about your business and how you think about, you know, relationships, all those things.
All those things. I mean, you know, we Dart Rush, the Nerf arena that we started, mm-hmm. it's that whole premise. It's like super simple. The technology is super low. Mm-hmm. The experience is very, like, it's a simple experience. The games are really short, but like in there's like, man, the amount of fun that you can have within mm-hmm. that is like, it's incredible. So
yeah.
It's a huge driver for me.
That's cool.
So
you've got Axioms, Creative Axioms. Yeah. You also have kind of a creative role model, which is probably not what people would think. So,
you're right. I grew up watching Columbo.
Yes.
And I think my first book, if I ever write one, will be like business practices as it pertains. That's from lessons from watching Columbo.
That's so awesome.
He like, I was fascinated by the guy.
I'm reminded as you say that there will be many people potentially, because this will be on social media, who have no idea who you're talking about.
Okay,
so that's true. For who Columbo is.
That's a good, well, first of all, you can search it. And actually, search it on Netflix so they put it back on for free again, please.
There you go.
Columbo is like a 60s, 70s detective. Mm-hmm. There was always a very like wealthy upper echelon murder case that was, It was always the perfect crime, and yet Columbo would solve it. But the irony is he would always solve it with this piece of evidence that would never hold up in court. It never makes it to trial. It just makes it to I gotcha, you know.
Right.
But yeah, man, I was fascinated by the guy who would roll in with like disheveled hair and a big gross coat, and he drove like an absolute piece of junk.
Yes, he did.
And he had a big dog named Dog, and he just had this way of, you know, he just carried himself in a way that was like so disarming. People would just like open up to him because he didn't seem as like he was a threat. And so like they would say things that they shouldn't have said, mm-hmm. you know, and he was always paying attention. Yeah. Like, Nothing wasn't worth considering in his viewpoint. And on top of the fact that he was super relentless with his work, like all of those silly little principles are very like, I resonated with that.
Yeah.
I totally, because I mean, early in my, God, I would show up, I would go shoot like CEO of a big thing or some like big famous, you know, fancy doctor, and I just look like garbage. Like I'd have like ripped jeans and a hole in my shirt, and I always drove a piece of junk. I was probably embodied him a little too much in the first few years, but but I would walk away with like really great stuff. And I think there actually were times where I think these guys were like, all right, who is this kid? Like, mm-hmm. and they're just gonna, you know, they don't take it seriously enough to like keep their guard up.
Yeah,
and I would just get really great access to people. So
that's so good. Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I didn't think about this when you said it, but like, you talked about people's ability to open up to Columbo.
Yeah.
I don't know how it ranks versus like going to the dentist, but my guess is a family portrait it's a high pressure environment. I mean, I don't think people wake up in the morning. I know I don't, with my young kids saying like, oh, this, what an easy day.
Yeah.
We just have to stand still for about 15 minutes, you know? And obviously it's not just standing still, but yeah, there is a level of when people enter into a space with you creatively, they can feel nervous. They can feel uncomfortable, and you are really good at disarming that and making people feel welcome. I just thought about that, but like, you're right.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. I think that like in the case of Family Portrait, like a portrait project, I also recognize that like, yes, you do need to get there and relax and have fun, but like to get there, to get your family like looking good, fed, rested, mm-hmm. like you and your wife just may have personally fought a battle, but like the battle of getting everybody there is like a huge thing. So yeah, man, like once you're there with us, like we just really work to make it easy. And so some of that for me, just I don't know how and why it works, but it does. You know, there's some things that are important. I mean, that's why there's bourbon there.
That's right. That always helps.
It always helps.
It always gets used too.
Right? Yeah, for sure. That's great. That thing came about entirely on accident, and the funny thing is it was actually the thing that I decided that I didn't want to be. Like, I knew I wanted to be a photographer. I don't want to shoot weddings. I don't want to shoot families. I don't want to, you know, list. And it's like, well, okay. I accidentally started. I was like, well, what if we do family portraits one day and I'll treat it like a commercial thing, like I do in the studio. And it's like, oh, that was actually really fun. And like, people really responded to it. And so it kind of started as a selfish endeavor, but yeah, it's turned into one. I'm honored by the fact that I think it is a gift that our city gets to participate in. Yes. And it's grown bigger than me now that we have multiple photographers and we're shooting so many people and watching families grow. I mean, you talked about the spirit of your family for that year, and a big heart behind it is like, look, we're gonna set the stage. Yeah. And your expectation is you just come, you know, show up expecting to give, to be who you are, and, you know, come with an expectation that you're going to get something good, but you're also going to give me your best. And we're going to collaborate together on that. And, I'm not interested in making you into anything that you're not.
That's right.
And the heart behind it is, you know, let's, our motto is we make, I should know it better. It's, we make honest family portraits, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. in a simple way.
Yeah. Well, and the bias for good. I mean, you talk about like, it's, and the assumption in that is that your family is good.
Yeah.
Right?
Like it
there's
is.
A bias for good. My wife has a water bottle with a bunch of stickers, and one of the stickers on there is bias for good for the Simple Portrait Project. And I may have told you this, John Bob, but I want you to know. So for my family, why that is doubly special for us is because for Maria growing up, she lost most of her family portraits. Most of her pictures from childhood she doesn't have.
Yeah.
And so my wife, like, we never miss an opportunity to do a photo booth. Like, we never miss an opportunity. My wife takes an insane amount of pictures because she is determined that our kids won't have the same loss that she had, you know, to be able to see your life play out in pictures. And so for us, it's always a very, very special thing because that's a part of our family story.
Yeah.
Those pictures are a part of our family story. In fact, one of the things I do every year with it, I don't know where I got this advice, but it was really good advice. I knew that I wasn't going to scrapbook as a dad. I wasn't going to have this. I'm not going to have the ability or discipline to do that. So one of the best pieces of advice I got was set up a Gmail account for each of your kids when you're born. And when stuff comes that you want to share, just share it with them, you know? And so I share the portrait with them every year because I want all of our kids to have, here's the legacy of our family year after year. So, I mean, it's an incredible thing that you do.
That's awesome. Well, I love hearing what people are doing with it. And that whole, you know, that bias for good is, is really for us is the team that puts it on. It's like, we just want you to show up and we are going to start with the assumption that your family is good.
Yeah.
And we're just going to let that ride and lean into that. Because like the truth is if you've got that far, like you're investing in your family and you're taking time to remember who you are, you know, and I do believe that like there's many sort of different versions of family, there's many family experiences happening. I used to think that there was sort of this ideal sort of track for a family. And after shooting hundreds of them every year, I realized, you know what, like there's a variety of ways, expressions of family looks like, and just the fact that you're there, like we just want to just affirm that, just affirm who you are as a family, and you know, let the cream rise to the top, and we photograph that, and that's also why you don't leave with a gazillion shots. You really just leave with a couple,
right?
And and the heart there is that like we want to remind you of like there you came with an expectation, the best version of yourself, and we want you to hold for the next year. We want you to hold on to that. And take time throughout the year to remember, like, when we're together, we're good.
Yeah.
Like, this is good. Because I'm a parent, you're a parent.
Right.
Some days it doesn't feel so good.
It's not always good.
It's like, no, you guys are just really frustrated.
Right, you know, right.
I'm frustrated. Right. More than I should be.
Why do you love this city that we get to share?
Yeah.
So just talk about that. What do you love about our city?
Man, I think there's a number of things to fall in love with our city. I love that we get all four seasons.
Yeah.
I love that there's no traffic, really. I love that it's become like a kind of a cultural hotspot. Like, we've got kind of great restaurants, good arts, good events, good, you know, all kinds of just different things that are happening culturally. I think, though, that it's really the people in our community that are, you know, I would hope that it's not a unique thing, the way families and friends do like life together here.
Yeah.
And really want to, you know, build into each other's the success of not just their bank accounts, but the health of their family, the health of their marriage, the health of their relationships. Like, you know, that's the reason why I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think you know, Crossroads is a huge part of that. Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of, so much of that connectivity runs through there, and
yeah.
And it's just like, we're, and as I also say, you know, it's really excited to be connected to Crossroads in, especially, like, I do a lot of, I'm involved with a number of things, like, on more the creative side,
yeah.
And just being in a place that has such a high value for, like, creative excellence, and, like, it's like one of my favorite creative teams to work with. Like, just seeing what God is doing in our city through the church, and watching, like, the walls of the church kind of be perforated to, like, trickle into other churches in the community with a lot of the stuff that you're doing, like, divided. Man, it's just like I just want to be part of that too. So, is that a good? Are those good enough reasons?
It's great, man. Any reason's a good reason, but I tell you what, our city's blessed to have you.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm
thanks,
really
dude.
Thankful.
Dude.
To call you a friend.
Yes.
I Love Cincinnati is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. If you want to hear more from us, drop us a line on Instagram or Facebook at I Love Cincy Podcast. That's I Love Cincy with a Y Podcast. Thanks for listening. See you in the next episode.